Welcome to Weston's Sermon Podcast of the Week. We're so glad you joined us today. If you've been encouraged by our ministry and would like to support us financially, you can do so at westonroadchurch.com/give. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
This morning, we're going to jump into the Word. I pray, and I hope you're ready. But before we jump to Scripture, let's talk about water for a second. Water is such a wonderful gift to us in this world. Think of all the things. Water washes us clean. If you need a shower after work, you can do that. Water washes. It also satisfies your thirst. Maybe you go to the gym and you're thirsty. Water quenches your thirst. Water's cool. I mean, cool in the sense that, yes, it could be cold, but cool in that it could be a solid, a liquid, or a gas. It could be hot or cold. It sustains life. Fish live in the water, in the fresh waters, and in the salty waters. And it can be used as also a mode of transportation. Water is such an amazing gift. And a lot of times we probably take it for granted. You turn on the tap and it's there. By the way, water also helps us make coffee. And people who wake up at 5 a.m. say, thank you, Jesus. Water is a wonderful gift. But water, by the same token, can also do a lot of damage. Yes? I've seen, when we were young, I remember the home. We came home from 2 weeks of vacation, and the basement was flooded because of a faulty toilet. The water, I don't even want to think about having to walk through that. But we did. And we had to clean it all up, redo the whole basement. Water can do damage. We think of the violent storms or even drowning, and it could take a life just like that. I guess we can say it depends on your perspective and also your experience that you've had with water. And today in our text, we're going to look at Jesus and his disciples and their experience with a particular body of water. If you have your Bibles, would you open to Matthew chapter 8? And would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Matthew chapter 8, we'll begin reading at verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. If you're there, shout amen. Amen. It's also going to be on the screen for you. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, and here's what it says. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and the waves obey him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to open up your holy word. Father, today I pray that you would speak out of the volume of this book with the great magnitude and weight that it carries. Father, I pray now for your anointing upon my mind, my lips, and my heart, that I might speak your word only. And we thank you for this opportunity. I pray for open hearts as well to receive and to hear what your Spirit is saying to each individual, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. See, water, we said, depends your perspective. It's a gift. It's a wonderful gift. Or it could be a danger in your life. Depends your perspective and your experience. In Matthew 8, this is actually the first record of a nature miracle in the New Testament. I mean, in Psalm 107, if you go back there, it speaks about God being able to calm the wind and the storm and the waters. But never was a man who walked the earth able to do that. And so this is also the first record of a nature miracle that we find in the New Testament. And in verse 23, it tells us who got in the boat. And it's not a hard one. If you read verse 23, it'll say, Jesus got in the boat and also his disciples. So they were making their way across. Now, having previously been fishermen, they would have likely been out on the water and been familiar with riding in a boat and going about, but fishermen usually fished at night. The water is usually calmer at night. And the specific body of water we're talking about in Matthew 8 is the Sea of Galilee. And I'm going to explain to you why all of a sudden we could encounter a storm. But verse 24 tells us, suddenly. So it was something unexpected and something that happened quickly. I don't know if you've ever had a suddenly moment in your life where everything seemed good, everything seemed great, and then all of a sudden, your life changes before your eyes. I always refer back to the time we became parents for the first time. And it wasn't sudden because there were 9 months where we were supposed to be preparing, but the suddenly was, this is for real. And I remember when the nurse, you know, we got our little semi-shared room with, I don't know who was on the other side. We were just trying to deal with the reality of we're parents now. And I remember it was a long process with Josiah. But we finally got there and I thought, it's like 9 o'clock at night. We're going to go for some rest. I just need some rest. And so the nurse was talking with us and telling us, okay, mommy, you have to feed baby, every hour and a half. I was thinking that would start in the morning. And so I'm like, okay, so like you're going to take the baby and tomorrow like we'll start this thing. She goes, oh, no. This is your baby. She goes, from now on, this is your child. It's not in our care. And I thought, oh, my goodness. My life suddenly changed, and I haven't slept a day since. It's been 5 years. But the beauty of it, I mean, that's a pretty happy one. But there are situations that we don't expect. I remember when I was 23, when my mom died. It was a Sunday night. The last, we went to church, and then we went to a funeral home. And I remember I was on my way out of the funeral home, and there was like a lineup to come in to the actual specific hall, but I remember seeing my mom and my dad in that line, and I remember seeing her smile when I walked over and said, okay, love you, I have a youth pastor's meeting, we're going to just do a small barbecue tonight, and then I'm going to see you later on at home. Well, I never saw my mom again alive on this earth, and in a moment, suddenly, she was taken. So suddenly, I believe most of us are never expecting a suddenly moment or a suddenly season. Why? Well, because they are suddenly. They happen. They're unexpected. And so these fishermen, or they used to be fishermen, are now fishing for men. Jesus said, I'm going to take you, come, follow me, and you'll be fishers of men. So now all of his disciples are on this boat with Jesus. Now, something particular happens. Now, it's a storm, we read it. And the waves start breaking over the side of the boat. In other words, it starts filling with water. I remember once going on a canoe trip with my sister, and it looked good. We said, see that little island not far? This was Pigeon Lake in the Kawarthas. We said, let's just go around that small little island, and we're going to come back. And like we were old enough to canoe, but the winds changed, and it was suddenly against us, and it took us about an hour to get back when it only took us about 15 minutes to set out. And I said, Sab, this is crazy. She's like, just keep rowing, don't stop. And I remember seeing water, because it was raining now, starting to accumulate at the bottom. Now, we didn't have waves, you know, overlapping the sides of our canoe, filling it up. But this is the context of where we're at. This was for the disciples, even those who used to be fishermen. This was, I don't think we're going to make it, so what's going to happen? Are we dying? Is this it? This is the end of us? So this is the sense of urgency that they have. And let's just talk about the Sea of Galilee for a bit to understand how this could suddenly happen. So the journey from one end to the other would have taken 1 to 2 hours. So this is what it should take normally. But because the Sea of Galilee is below sea level and is surrounded by mountains, it is susceptible to sudden storms. So this is what happens. We have mountains all around the Sea of Galilee. And what happens is as the wind would come, it goes up the mountain, and then it would come down the mountain towards the lake. And this is what would create the downdrafts over the lake. And so as a result, the water in the Sea of Galilee, or the lake as it's sometimes referred to, can instantly stir up into violent 20-foot waves. This is what my research has shown me. So we're not talking about a lake where you just get, this is a violent storm that they're in. And they're afraid that their life is suddenly going to come to an end. Verse 25 tells us that the disciples, in good wisdom, decide to wake Jesus up. And this is what they shout. Save us, we're going to drown. By the way, this story is also recorded in Mark. And in Mark, the reference, when they wake Jesus up, they say, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Again, their perspective in this situation is, this doesn't look good. I'm not sure, we're not sure if we will make it. Anyone have ever been at that point in life? I don't know how I'm going to make it another day. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this situation. I don't know how this is going to pan out. Is this the end of me? Is this the end of us? And so they wake Jesus up. And that's from their perspective. They're afraid. But life is like that. Life is like that. One minute we're good, and the next minute we're overcome with fear, and we feel like this is their problem. There's no way of escape. There's no way of escape for me, for us. And so my question to you this morning, as we go through this, for you to think about, what storm are you afraid of? What storm are you afraid of? Or what water is filling your boat? And it might not be your fault, but you just find yourself suddenly in a panic. And that could be your situation today. And I want you to know without a doubt that God doesn't always deliver his people from trials, but he often walks with them through it. God won't always deliver you from what you're experiencing, but usually he's right there alongside of you walking through it, walking you through it. And this is the truth of who God is. And so we have to go back to the first verse to make sense of the situation. Who's in the boat? Right? We're hearing the disciples' perspective, but in verse 23, we read it, the disciples are in the boat, but who got in the boat as well? Jesus. Jesus is in the boat. But where is Jesus? He's sleeping in the boat. And one of the other passages tells us that he was laying with his head on a cushion, taking a nap. And you might say, why would Jesus need to nap? Why would he have to be doing all of this? Let me just shed some light. Well, due to his constant activity in ministry, his ministry often can be summed up in three simple points. The ministry of teaching, preaching, and healing. This is what Jesus did constantly. People were seeing him walk down and they would line up and the crowds would gather. And there were people who had great need. And Jesus was the one who would come and he would teach them about the kingdom of God. Not only that, but he would heal them of their infirmities, of their sicknesses, and of their diseases. And so this same Jesus is in the very boat with them, but he's tired. Because as much as he was fully God, he was still fully man. And so, follow me for a week, doing hospital visits, preparing sermons, phone calls, all, and you'd say, Pastor John, this gets pretty intense. Some moments are a little more relaxed, but yeah, we got to get going and we keep going. And Jesus's ministry, he kept going. And so he needed a moment on a boat as they're traveling to just simply rest. It's not a big deal, but the circumstances suddenly changed and suddenly now it's a big deal. But here's what I want us to know this morning and take note of, that just because you don't hear from him doesn't mean he's not there. Just because you don't hear from him doesn't mean he's not there. Verse 26, we see that Jesus responds to them. And we've heard about the disciples' perspective, panic, there's no way of escape. Don't you care that we're going to drown? Let's hear for a moment from Jesus' perspective. Jesus responds to them and he says, "Why are you so afraid? You have so little faith." And you might say, well, that's pretty harsh of Jesus. Like, they thought they were going to die. But Jesus was alluding to the fact that we didn't actually read it, but it's going to be on the screen, that in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, here's what it says. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, this is the crowd of all the people, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. So in verse 18, we have a bit more context as to why they got in the boat and why they were traveling to the other side. It wasn't their idea, hey, Jesus, you look tired. Let's get in the boat so you could take a nap and let's get on our way and we'll see what's on the other side of the lake. Jesus was the one who gave the instruction. So here's the application for you and for me. When Jesus asks you to do something, you have to trust that he is going to accompany you every step of the way. And if Jesus told you to do something, he will not allow you to be harmed in the process. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament, who they refused to bow down to the king. They refused to bow a knee to another god, but the one true living God. And what happens is, the king says, throw them into the flames, into the fire. Turn it up even hotter. And the Bible says that even the guards or the soldiers who threw those three men into the fire, it was so hot that they themselves were consumed by the fire and the heat. And yet, when they looked, they saw not three men, but four. And the fourth one looked like the Son of God. And so we can see that Jesus will not only be in the boat with you when the storms or the rain will come, where you feel like you're going to drown, but even if you say, I'm walking through the fire and I'm afraid I'm going to get burned, you trust in Jesus. But here's the thing. You make sure that it's him who's leading you there. A lot of times, we are led by our own ambition, our own desires. A lot of times we're led by our own thoughts and thinking, okay, well, I could do it this way, and maybe there's a prompting from the Lord, but I think this is better. I think this is better. And I go, and I try. Listen, Jesus, it's a part of the nature of who he is. He's our Savior. And he will stoop down and save us from our own foolishness, our own stupidity, even our own wandering. If we get lost along the way, in his goodness, he does that. But I want to tell you, the path of blessing might have fire on it. The path of blessing might feel like you're going to drown in a boat, in a storm. But the difference is that Jesus is with you every step of the way. Because you're walking in his obedience, he's going to take care of you. And that's the difference. So Jesus, back to our text, why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? He's saying you have little faith. He didn't say you have zero faith, because they actually listened and they got in the boat. But he's saying, why are you afraid? In other words, I'm here. I'm here in the midst of the storm. I'm here. Why are you afraid? And see, this is the difference. Jesus is inviting them now. Don't look at the situation with your human understanding or your perspective. He's inviting them to say, see how I see the situation. I'm here with you. And we will make it to the other side. Can somebody say amen? I remember this trip. I was coming home from Bible school. My parents came with the vehicle to pick me up. And I was still a young guy. I was in my early 20s. I said, Dad, I'll drive. He hurt his shoulder. I think it was playing soccer. I'm like, Dad, you're not young anymore. It's not the World Cup. But whatever. He had a bad shoulder, and it was hurting him to drive. So I said, I'll drive. I've done this road many times. The trip from Boston to Montreal, where I grew up and where I lived for many years. And I remember a bad storm came, and my father was very attentive at that point. He said, "Are you good, Jonathan? Are you ticked?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm good. I see the road. I see the lines. We're good." It was so bad that people were pulling over on the side of the road. And it almost, to me, felt even more dangerous if I were to pull off, because who knows who stopped or who's coming. So I just said, "I'm slow and steady wins the race." And what I noticed is those people, they actually stopped in the storm on the side of the road. I continued for another minute or so, and I kid you not, it was like, you know, like a Hollywood movie where the rain just falls on a specific area. And as soon as I drove a minute further, I kid you not, the clouds opened, the sun was out, the road was dry, and I said, "Look at that." Just because I chose to persevere through the storm, I mean, people chose to camp out and park in the storm. And in life, a lot of times, that might look like the right thing to do. But I want to tell you that if God said, "Do this," don't stop and camp out in the storm. You continue till you see the break of dawn in your situation. And just like that, I said, "Wow, if they would have just gone a little further, they would have seen what I'm enjoying now." And I continued on the rest of the way. Jesus responds to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? I'm with you. Why do you have such little faith? I'm with you. You've seen me do all of this stuff." And he was trying to train them and teach them, because eventually Jesus would hand over the responsibility of ministry to the disciples. So he was training them and teaching them. But I want you to note this. He responds to the disciples, but he rebukes the wind and the rain. I want you to note the difference. Jesus responds to the disciples with words, but he rebukes the wind and the wave. And this is where we find the nature miracle. And you see, this, in effect, indicates the personal authority of Jesus. He's the master of created things, of the created order. And he simply speaks to the winds and the rain, and it's done. "Peace, be still." And it was. And it stopped. An American survey revealed that 54% of people are afraid or very afraid of being in a car crash. 53% are afraid or very afraid of having cancer. 49% are afraid or very afraid of not having money for retirement. And 36% are afraid or very afraid of food poisoning from meat. That last one is a bit interesting. It's like, everyone's out to get me. I have to make sure this meat's okay. But Jesus rebukes the disturbance and responds to the desperate. And Jesus responds to people who call on him. You see, you might have things that paralyze you in fear. And to you, that's your storm. That's your difficulty. And I want you to know that all you have to do today is say, "Jesus, in the midst of this, Jesus," and you're not waking him up. You're actually waking yourself up when you do that. And you allow him opportunity to have his way in your life, to have his way in your situation. Say, "Jesus, I call upon you. You are the master of the winds and the waves and the storms of life." And so it's okay to let God know what is going on in here. And do you think it's God's desire for you to go around in depression and in fear and anxiety, thinking someone's going to poison your meat before you eat it? Jesus came that you might be free. And in fact, God says, the Bible says of God that God is love. And Scripture also says that perfect love casts out all fear. So you have nothing to fear today. And in a moment, when we get to the end of this message, I'm going to give every single person an opportunity to respond today. You're not responding to me when we open up these altars and when we come for prayer. You're responding to him. And here's the thing. When my son calls for me, even if it's in the middle of the night, for some reason, my dad antenna is always up. And I hear, "Daddy." It doesn't matter the time of night now. But I hear it. It's like a beep, 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 beep. And I get up, as tired as I am, I open the door because we lock it. And I say, what's wrong? Daddy, it's my daughter now. She just wants to say, come sleep with me. I said, I will not sleep in your bed. It's way too small for me. But we're good. There's nothing wrong. Just go back to sleep. And I believe some of us today need to call out to Jesus. Need to call out to him in your distress, in your struggle, in your storm, and say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you today. See, Jesus responds to people who call on him. That's as simple as it gets, friends. All you have to do is call on him, and he will respond. You see, we talked about the suddenly storm, right? I've entitled the message, The Perfect Storm, by the way, because we're never ready for the storms of life. So we might as well just accept them and embrace them and say, Lord, I'm walking in your ways. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. So, Father, as I'm walking through this, I know that it's not easy, but I know that you are with me. And here's the thing. As suddenly as a storm can start, it can suddenly stop when you call on the name of Jesus. And as they woke him up from the boat, again, we said he responds to people. But he was very quick to rebuke the wind and the waves. And this is who Jesus is. It's not only what he does for us, but it's who he is. And Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3 says this. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. And if you could take out Jacob and put your name in there. So now, Jonathan. Or now Mark, or now Stephen, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Would you stand to your feet with me today, church? You can walk through the waters and not drown. You can walk through the fire and not be consumed. You see, Proverbs 29:25, and we close with this scripture, and then we're going to open up these altars. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Today, I don't care the depth of the storm you find yourself going through. I love you with the ability I have to love. God loves you so much more. But I love you enough to say, you don't have to make it on your own. You don't have to struggle and wonder, is this the thing that takes me out? And what I would love to do is just give every single person here an opportunity, whoever wants to call on the name of the Lord, that you meet me at the front. And we're going to pray and we're going to believe that the God, the same Jesus that was in the boat with the disciples is the same one that's here. And he wants to respond to you, but get ready, because suddenly I believe he's going to rebuke the wind and the waves in your life, or the flames that have been chasing you down. And in a suddenly moment, you can be set free from whatever has been holding you down. And you can walk out this place different than how you came in. And so as quickly as the storm comes, today my prayer is once we come and we pray at these altars, suddenly, as Jesus does his work, as his Holy Spirit moves in your life, that we will see him do some great things. And that storm, that thing is gone. It's done in Jesus' name. So today we're just going to open these altars. I'm not going to fancy it up. I'm not manipulating anyone. Just the appeal is simply open. You want prayer? You want to call on the name of the Lord? You come to these altars, spend some time here, go deeper with God. We're going to just come around you, lay our hands and believe and pray with you. But this is something that you have to do. You have to call on the name of the Lord. I can't do it for you. I cannot do it for you. You have to do it this morning. What I'm going to do is this. I'm going to pray and I'll dismiss, but quietly. If anyone wants to come, you come. I'm going to stay as long as necessary to pray for whoever wants prayer, and we're going to believe for breakthrough today. He's Lord of the storm. He's Lord of the storm. And in a suddenly moment, I believe that He's going to rebuke whatever those things are in your life that have been bothering you. Would you join me as we pray? Father, I thank You today for Your Word. God, Your Word is already anointed. Father, and Your Word also says that You will allow it to accomplish whatever You want it to accomplish in the hearts and lives of people. So this morning, God, as Your Word has gone forth, Lord, Your Word also says it never returns void. So, Father, we receive today the Word that has been spoken. And, Father, today I pray over everyone who's here. Lord, even those that are about to come to this altar. Father, we know that we will walk through the fires. That, Lord, we will walk through the storm. But, God, our confidence is in knowing that You will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, I thank You today for You are faithful. I thank You that Jesus is Lord over the storm. That at just one word, everything can change. And so, God, we thank You today that we are here and we are Your church. Lord, we have access to Your throne room because of the finished work of the cross. And today, Father, I know that You are willing and able to move heaven and earth on behalf of those who would call upon Your name. And so, Father, I bless those who need to go today in the name of the Father, the Son, and Your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would be Your church from Monday to Saturday before we gather again next Sunday. And Father, I just thank You for this time together. I thank You, Lord, that You are at work and You are alive in the hearts of Your people. Now make Your presence known in this place, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the Sermon of the Week. God wants to work in your life, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing amen@westonroadchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope listening to this week's message has equipped you to be the light wherever you go.